Start again from the Mishnah. I know we did it. We can start again from the Mishnah. Hamatama v'amdama v'amnaseich. If somebody's matame truma or mixes truma and chulin, or does manaseich, and the Gemara is going to have a machlokes what it means. V'shagig poter b'meizit chayev. We're not going to do the Rashi. We did it already. Imar manaseich. What is manaseich? Rabba manaseich mamish means actually pouring wine for avodah zarah. Interesting. Rashi says he shook the wine of avodah zarah. The reason it's interesting, because I'll point it out in a minute why it's interesting, Shmuel Amar Ma'ariv, he mixed wine that's Nesach with other wine. Why can't he learn simple Pshat? So he doesn't pay. What is the Mandiyamar that says it really means Manasseh? Because Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Meshasak Bol, the Kanav, he's kind of when he picks it up. Now here you see that he picked it up. In the case of Shikshuk, he didn't really pick it up. So the Achrayim point out, Rashi said that the case was he shook the wine. The Gemara responds and says, the Rav holds it's not come Levi Rav Minei, because he picked it up, and that was Manasseh. So what they say is that Rashi said that in the Havamina. But Enochinami, according to Rav, who learns that he's chai for picking it up, the final case is not that he was Mishak Sheikh, because that would become Levi Rav Minei, because there is no act of taking it beforehand. So that's in that point, Rashi would agree that Rav is saying it's a different case. He picked it up to pour it, not that he just stuck his hand in and shook it. Right. Mishai ben Avsh, because Rabbi Yiddich, Rabbi Yomid, Rabbi Yomid, Mishai Sak Bol, the Kaina, Mishai ben Avsh, Lahavi, Achas Nisuch. Okay, Frank de Gemara. Ulamam Dama Menasech. One that says Manasseh, why doesn't he say Ma'arev? Right? Why doesn't he say the case is mixing? Amalach, Ma'arev, Hainu Madama. There's no reason to say two cases that are the same thing. Mixing Yai Nesach is similar to mixing Truma. Therefore, why would the Mishnah repeat itself? So I'd rather say that it's talking about he picked it up and then he did the Nisach. Rashi, Hainu Madama. He mixed into something mutter, something that makes it aser. But even the Shemina, the Kansu Rabbanon, if we already learned that the Rabbanon punished him to pay when he's amazing, I would know from Manasseh. Well, it's a mistake. The Mishnah wouldn't have to say that case. Ashta, please mute yourself over there in full time. Now that you're telling me Manasseh means Manasseh Mamish, you shouldn't say that he's come live with Rav Minei and he's butter. V'idach, so the mandamah that says Manasseh means mixing, so the chayvah is a repetition here. The answer is knasahu, it is a knas, or miknasu lo yafinan. You can't derive one case of knas from another case of knas. Sometimes Rabbanah will punish one and not punish the other. And therefore, you can't say one case and not figure out the other case. Rashi, Knasahu, Matame Madame de Bemezit Chayev Knasahu. And again, this is operating under the assumption that Hezek Shein and Nikoloich Mehezek, which is something we spoke about last week, that there's a machloikas, what would be the biblical law? The Gemara is now operating under the assumption that biblically, a person would not pay for Hezek Shein and Nikor. So therefore, it's a rabbinic punishment that he pays for Hezek Shein and Nikor. So you can't compare Knas to Miknas to Liafina Zokrash. He's Latino. It's not logical. It's a Knas. Ve'echad de Kanas Kanas, Ve'echad le Kanas le Kanas. When it's a logical Chiyav HaTorah, that the Torah said this rule, so you make comparisons. When Rabbanan came along and said, even though you're really not obligated, we're going to make you pay, maybe only in certain cases. And therefore, Lachi Yitzchuch Manasseh. Frek to Gemara, so that's good. So you learn out, so one of the Amr says, each case has to be there, so I would not compare any case to each other, even though they're equal, even though they're the same. Knosses are sometimes geared to certain cases, not to other cases. And therefore, it has to speak it out. So now, the bottom line is, if you learn how knasa miknasa, so why did the Mishnah say three cases? Say one case. And from the one case, I would see that Rabbanon punished Hezek Shein and Nikor. And according to Rav, we do derive one from the other. So why did it say three? Zokta Gemara Tzricha. The Gemara is going to explain why we need all three cases. Itana Metame. If it would say only the case of Matame. Now notice, the Mishnah did not say your Matame Truma. Rashi explained it that way. The Gemara is not sure. The Gemara says, Eat Truma Hava Mina Mishnah the Kamapsari Lagamri. If it's Matame Truma, I would think Rabbanim punished him. Because the bottom line is, he's creating it. Now, Lagamri here does not mean total. It is not totally lost. It is almost totally lost. He diminished its value by a huge percentage. Food is worth a lot more than using a food item for fuel. And therefore, he diminished its value. The Gemara calls it Lagamri. But it's clear later on that Lagamri here doesn't mean Lagamri. It just means it took it down so far as if it's complete. Maybe they punished him because he did an Isser. He did an Isser. It's Usser to make. Besides the damage he causes because he makes something Tame, and it's worth less, even in Chulun, but he did an Isser because you're not allowed to be Matame Truma in Chulun and Eretz Yisrael. Dr. Rashi. I have a Madame Amy Love just reading the next line of the Gemara. But mixing is not an Isser. Nothing wrong in mixing Chulun and Truma except the fact that you're damaging it. But it's not Isser inherently in it, right? So maybe we didn't punish him. Rashi. That is Rav. He doesn't need the case of Ma'arav, the Ophina Mimidame. He said we compare it. I've got the Knosu. So Kahani the Masis and Lomali. Listen, learn one case, but now for Yiddish, now we can learn all other cases from it. So the Kambavsi Lelegamri, Lechaz Yisu Lachila, because it's not edible. The Asa Ligun Truma, Truma, Mipne Prushim, Shaykhlim Chaleim Betara. There was a group of Eretz Yisrael called the Prushim that ate Chulim Betara. So therefore, by making Chulim Tameh, you're making life difficult for them. Which is the Abedi Surah Kansu. Medama, Loimavsi Lelegamri, the Chazi Lekahanim. Yes, it is a damage, but it's not a complete damage. Maybe we wouldn't punish for a less than complete damage. That would be a havamina. Therefore, the Mishnah has to say, Madama. Biashmina Madama, Mishum Dishchiach. Happens frequently. Not sure why. I guess people mix Chulin and Truma on a frequent basis, except I'm not allowed to mix somebody else's Chulin and Truma. Avamatama Dishchiach, people are very careful with that. Emeloi. So therefore, the Mishnah had to say the case of Matame and the case of Madama. V'yashmina Matame Madama, Mishum Dle Gimle B'drabmine. I would say because there's no capital offense. I have a Manasseh, the Gimle B'drabmine Maloi. But Manasseh, which carries within a capital offense, I would say he's Pater because of Gimle B'drabmine. Kamash Monkaj Reb Yirmiyah, so the Mishnah tells me the case of Manasseh to tell me that it's not Gimle B'drabmine because he did the picking up first, which he's obligated for, and the capital offense happened later. So the Mishnah spoke it out that you shouldn't make a mistake and think, like Shmuel does, that if you pick it up to do Nisuch, it's one long act. The Mishnah speaks it out, you should know it's two long acts. It's two different acts. So therefore, each part of the Mishnah is a Chiddush. If it would say Matama, I would not know Madama. If it would say Madama, I would not know Matama. I would not know Manasseh from both of them. And therefore, the Mishnah said all three cases. Now, why couldn't it just say Manasseh and not the other two? The Gemara will say that later. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Kerb Yermia, the Mishnah Nishchiach, the other people do it. But Milsa Nishchiach, Havidi Rabbanon Mutkanta, the Kiyach of Benavid. It would make sense that Rabbanon would punish a guy who ruined somebody else's chulun by mixing truma into it because it's something that happens commonly. Kerb Yermia, the Mida'ag Be'kanya. Period. So, according to Shmuel, the Mishnah had to say the three cases, because I don't derive one from the other. According to Rav, the Mishnah had to say three cases, because they're different. And the Gemara went through the difference. Again, the time is an Isser, the time is Shiach, but not to tell me that we don't say Kam Lebed Rav Minei. Frek the Gemara. Ula Rav Oven, Ula Hod Tani Abu Rav Oven. There's a brisa that has it differently than our Mishnah. The brisa says, at the beginning, they only mentioned Metame and Menasech. Then they added Madama. The question is, wouldn't I figure it out? Again, according to Rav Oven's brisa, it's not metabe first, then metama, and we wouldn't figure out one from the other, and then menaseh. It's metame and menaseh, then they added medama, which is mashma. I would not figure out medama from metame and menaseh. Why not? So, kohani lomeli. So, the Gemara tzricha. The yashmina metame shalikim lebedramine. If it would say metame, I would not know menaseh. I'm a menaseh to kim lebedramine, I'm a loy. The yashmina menaseh, and here the Rashi Gemara is throwing in a new thing. Mishum dekamavsid le'legamri. Avo matamre de'loi mavsid le'legamri eim aloi. And this is what I meant before. There's a difference between menasech and matame in the amount of damage that one did. When one was menasech, it is totally asur b'hana. Period. End of story. It's 100% asur b'hana. It's worth zero now. When one is matame, he takes a food item that's worth money and turns it into a fuel item that's worth a small fraction of it. So before, the Gemara called that Megamri, because compared to Medama, it's a much more loss. Medama just lowers the price that an Al-Kahanim can buy it, right? You mix Chulin into Truma, a Kayin can buy it and eat it. Except because it's a smaller market, it's cheaper. But it's not a complete cut. Metame takes it from something worth $100 to something worth $5. Menaseh takes it from something worth $100 to something worth zero. So if we would only say menaseh, I would say you only pay for a hezek shein and nikker when it's a total loss. Metame is not a total loss. Now, even though the Gemara used before legamri, didn't mean legamri. It meant almost a total loss, a big loss. Whereas menaseh is a total loss, right? I'm a lot. Yes, min hanikarti, b'shem hefsim meruba. It's a lot of loss. It's a big percentage, either total or a lot. That's why I need all three cases. At the end of the day, no case would teach me the other cases. Matame wouldn't teach me Madama, because Matame is an Isser. Matame wouldn't teach me Menaseh, because Menaseh, I would say, is come live to Rabbinah. Madama wouldn't teach me Matame, because Madama is Shriach. And again, wouldn't teach me Menaseh, because Madama is Shriach. Menaseh wouldn't teach me the other two, because Menaseh is a total loss. And when it's a total loss, it's different. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Lomali, given the time Menaseh Beresha, Tarti Beresha, if Menaseh is one of the first two, Koshke Medame, the Lekele Meme to come live in the Ramene. Menaseh, Dr. Rashi, Mavsi Legamri, Shasr Bahano, Abmatami, Abagam to Mavsi Legamri, the Inshu Asme, the Yochalacho. Granted, it's a loss as far as its food component is concerned. Abachazihu ladayin lasaka can use it as fuel, or lamacho behemo, or to feed his animal. Afilu metame truma, chazi lasaka lebehemus kayin. It's not worthless. Tame truma can be used, either for an animal, or to use as fuel. Metame ika hefsid meruba, lechazi su lachila. Metame is considered a hefsid meruba, because it's not fit to eat. Fine. So at the end of the day, menaseh is a machloikus, Rav and Shmuel. Rav saying it means pouring actual menaseh. We don't say kim lebe de Rav minei because he picked it up before. And Shmuel says menaseh is another case of mixing. Dr. Gemara Weiter, Amr Cheskia. Now here comes the machloikus that I alluded to last week, briefly alluded to today. Dvar Taira, Chizkiya says, Hezek Shein and Nikah Shmei Hezek. Biblically speaking, a non-recognizable damage is still a damage. And we know this much. The Taira said, you damage, you pay. What is the translation of damage? Chizkiya says, when you make something worth less directly, that is damage. It doesn't have to be visible. Even if it's non-visible, it's still a damage. And therefore you pay. That's what Chizkiya says, biblically. So the question is, Amar Chizkiya, Dvar Torah, Echad Shogeg V'Echad Mezid, Chayev, my time of Hezek Shein and Nikah Shmei Hezek. My time, Amar B'Shogeg Pater. So why did Chazal Pater and B'Shogeg? They didn't Pater a guy who breaks somebody's chair, B'Shogeg. So why did they Pater Matamei Truma? If biblically you have to pay, why did they say B'Shogeg your Pater? Kadeshi idea. Because if not, he's not going to inform him about it. It's not visible. The guy will never know. what he doesn't know doesn't hurt him. At least that's what the guy will say. And therefore, he won't tell him. So we tell him, you don't have to pay anyway. So tell him. You have nothing to lose.
Rabbi?
Frank. Sorry?
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question here? Is the damage we're talking about simply not visible, or can it have a spiritual component? Like, I'm trying to understand the Chachamim's position here. If I trafed somebody's food accidentally, why would I not tell them? Why would my fear of paying be greater than my fear of having them eat trafed food?
You're a very honest person, and you don't want to make a guy lose money. So you don't want him to eat trafe, and you're willing to pay that he shouldn't eat trafe. But what if you don't want to pay? You're having a hard time with money. Somebody's having or he doesn't feel like paying. So he says to himself, let him eat it. So we ate some trafe. You know, we all eat trafe sometimes. So, you know.
It's not a matter of being honest. I have my own issues if I don't tell him, between me and God.
Right.
I mean, I have my own guardrails here.
Right, but that's not enough. You guess the Gemara feels that when it comes to money, it might not be enough of an incentive.
Okay.
People use all kinds of heterim when it comes to money. You know, I always say this. When I taught Masechtas Erevin, very few people ask me, why does Chazal make it this way, not the other way? But when you learn Masechtas Baba Kama, everybody was always asking, logically, it's the other way. Because when it comes to money, everybody understands that they have a opinion about how money works. When it comes to Erevin, everybody realizes, who am I going to say? They should make it Erevin. What am I going to do? But same thing, it's just money. When it comes to money, everybody's smart. And they come up with, oh, you're 100% right, by the way. Honest person, I don't mean honest, a frum person, should be honest anyway, a frum person will never do this because he doesn't want the other guy to eat trafe. It goes at his bill upstairs. Why would he do it? He'd rather pay.
Here's my point. Well, we're talking about normative behavior, not that some people will do it and some people will ignore it. Normative behavior here, the way everything has been constructed, I would think, obviously the Chachamim don't think it, but I would think, that these are sufficient guardrails, that would not be normative behavior. We're not talking about someone who has a constant financial interest in it. He's running a restaurant, and trafe meat is cheaper, so he's going to tell people it's kosher. We're just talking about somebody who just did something. It was an accident, and now he has to live with the issue if he's causing somebody else to eat trafe or whatever. We're just talking about...
How about if it's a $10,000 damage? The guy has something, a food item worth a lot of money, a big, I don't know what. And this guy went with Matamaya by mistake. And now he has a $10,000 bill if he tells him.
If I pull into a parking lot and misgauge something and hit someone's car and they're not in it, am I going to run for it? Whether or not there's video?
And if you're honest or not, I know a lot of people that run for it. Not only is that, I get childless. Somebody calls me and says, I just hit somebody's car. Do I have to stick around? People call you with that. They call me with that childless.
Okay.
Again, I'm not trying to, by the way, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying because I wanted to make sure that the guy knew. Now, I just want to point out that everybody agrees. Let me just read the next line. Reb Yechon Amar, Dvar Torecha Chegevecha Meizet Pater. A non-recognizable damage is not considered damage by Torah rules. When the Torah say you pay for damages, the Torah meant visible damages. My time has exceeded Nikon Loshim Hezek. I skipped a few lines. Let's go back. I'm sorry. I'm going to start again. Amr Chizkiah. Dvar Torecha Chegevecha Meizet Chayev. My time has exceeded Nikash Mehezek. My time Amru B'Shegi Pater. Kadesh Yedia, he should inform him. Frank the Gemara Yachavilu B'Mezit Nami. So why aren't we afraid that B'Mezit, he won't inform him if he knows he has to pay for it? Dr. Gemara, because Hashtel is Zuka come Machavin and do it like right away. He's, when he goes to do a B'mezin, that means he wants to damage the guy. Why else is he doing it? Now, he's not trying to damage the guy because the guy's going to end up eating trafe and he can say, ha ha, I got the guy to eat trafe. Because that's not enjoyable enough for the guy who wants to do damage. He wants to do damage, he wants to get him. He wants him to know, I got you. So he's going to tell him, I was Matama Yadruma. So we make him pay. Whereas B'shagig, he's not going to tell him. That's what Chizkiah says. Because again, the getting him is not that he ate trafe without knowing. That's not getting him. Getting him is to know, I damage your truma. I'm angry at you, I damage your truma. So he will tell him. So why did they say b'mezid chayev? If a guy were putter, so there's nothing to hold the guy back from getting even with his friend and doing a hezik shen and nicker. Right? You're angry at the guy. He has a beautiful piece of beef on the table, and you go and you sprinkle a little milk in it. You know, you touch some milk, hot milk, a pan to it. And you'll tell him, and I don't have to pay, because it has a shenanigan. So Chazal didn't want that to happen, so they said, if you do it on purpose, you pay. So there's a machlokes coming from both ends, it ends up in the middle. Chizkiah says, biblically, you pay for everything. Rabbanah removed it in order that people should inform other people. If Yechon says, biblically, you pay for nothing, but then there's no guardrail to keep a guy from doing it. So therefore, we said, the maid did you pay. Now, I just want to point out that according to everybody, it's usher to damage a person, even as Hezek Shein and Nicker. To be a mazik is usher, even if you're going to pay for it. You're not supposed to damage people and then pay for it. It's usher to damage. Where we learn it out from is a machlokes Rishayim. Some Rishayim say it goes into stealing. Damaging goes into stealing. I'm not allowed to steal and pay either. I'm not allowed to damage and pay. Some Rishayim say it goes into v'haftel r'achel kamecha. I'm supposed to treat my friend like I want to be treated. I don't want my stuff damaged, even if he's going to pay me. So it's a machlokes Rishayim what the source prohibition to damage is. But that prohibition to damage includes hezek shein and nicker. Whether you pay or don't pay, biblically, you're not supposed to damage. That's usher. Now, the machlokes is, what would biblically be the obligation monetarily? So Chizkiah says you would pay, and Rabbi Yechida says that's not what the Torah meant when it said you pay for damages.
What's the makor about the machlokes in regards to ain or nicker, just the
it's what, you look at Webster's, under the name hezek, what does Webster say? A recognizable damage or any damage? That's the machlokes. How to translate the word hezek in the Torah. Now, the cases of hezek in the Torah are all hezek nickers. So, is the Torah limiting it to that? Is the Torah giving you those examples?
Or the Torah is giving the most common.
So I'm saying, I don't know. I gave you two sides. I don't know. That's the machlokes Chizkiah Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, I will cheat and tell you that the Gemara paskens like Rabbi Yochanan. The hezek shein nicker loy shmei hezek. That biblically speaking, you would not have to pay. It's a knas. And that's why the Gemara before called it a knas, because we operate under Rabbi Yochanan that hezek shein nicker loy shmei hezek.
In these cases, the people who do the damage, whether it's Chizkiah or Yochanan, they're all chayav to tell the person that they did damage, right?
Yes, that would be a nice thing to do.
But there's no doubt about that, right?
But not everybody keeps what they're supposed to.
So by according to Chizkiah, the person he was doing it by Majid.
Then he would tell him.
And of course he'll inform the guy, right?
Because that's the object of it. If you're doing something by Majid, let's translate that. What does damaging b'mezid mean?
You want to hurt somebody.
You want to damage somebody. Yeah. So you want them to know.
But then you know it's a b'mezid. The person.
Here we are. We're very from people here. I'm very happy to hear that I'm teaching a very from people here.
No,
but yeah, you're from people.
It's common sense.
Common sense is not so common.
That was my question.
Again, a lot of things are usher and people do them. Anybody that damages the mason is doing an Aveira. Nicker or not nicker. It's an Aveira. But he's doing it amazing. Our question is to deal with the fallout, not to tell him not to do it. Of course he shouldn't do it.
It's just hard to imagine the person knows I'm doing amazing according to Kitzio, and I'm going to be butter, and I'm a bad guy, and I want to admit it. Most people don't admit they're a bad guy.
Again, the guy who's damaging the amazing, what is he doing?
He has bad intentions.
That means he's a bad guy. Anybody that damages the mason either lost it, he lost his cool, he's hot-headed, he lost his temper, he is completely out of control. Why else is a guy damaging the mason? Forget it hasn't changed a nicker. Any damage the mason. Why does somebody damage the mason? Again, admitting is just, again, why am I doing it? Let's stop before I admit it. Why am I doing it?
Heard of that.
So I want him to know I heard him. If not, what did I gain? So when
because
it's nicker, he'll find known. But it's not
Rabbi,
nicker.
You may have...
Oh, 1 second. If it's not nicker, how's he going to know I damaged him? So what did I accomplish? So I can laugh and say, I got the guy to do an Aveira? That's not good enough for my temper. Yes. Sorry, there was somebody on the phone?
Someone on the phone. An ex-spouse may be angry and want to key the car of the former spouse and not let him or her know. That's an internal revenge that's satisfied.
What they want to do?
They want to key their car, you know, take the keys, scratch the car, whatever it is.
But that's only because the guy will see his car keyed. If not,
sure,
they wouldn't do it. They would get no satisfaction about doing a damage to the car that the guy will never know was done.
Right.
If it's not nicker, that means he'll never know it was done. What satisfaction and revenge is there if they'll never know it was done?
Yeah,
that's the better point. I'm sorry, I missed that.
You're right. If it's a hezek nicker, you're happy just the person should see themselves damaged. If the hezek ain't a nicker, how is he going to know you got him? You get no satisfaction. So you're going to tell him. You're going to make sure he finds out. If not, why bother?
The problem is reputational will be ruined.
The guy is...
You don't care about that either, right?
Well, if he's doing this, he obviously...
So the guy's crazy.
Again, if he's damaging the guy, let's again, what is his incentive in damaging the guy? If he's worried about his reputation, this is not what he would be doing. Because he's not hurting the guy unless he tells him. If he tells him, he's ruining his reputation. So obviously, if he's doing it, he doesn't care about his reputation. His anger, his emotion, overrides his seichel. Because seichel would say, don't do him a damage the guy.
It's not unusual. It's an unusual.
No, it's not. It's used many times in Shas. Bar Torah means biblically. This is common term, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. You can ignore that list. No, I cannot, but it's okay, yes.
I said Rebbe can.
I said I can't. Now, yes, I'm sorry.
It's all saying is...
I'm sorry for the rude interruption, yes.
It's only saying that they derive it from the Torah, right?
Vayatayr means biblically. From the words of the Torah. Meaning if you go with biblical law, that's all it means.
But did they explain how they...
No. Whatever way the Torah said mazik is chayev, what does mazik mean? No pasik, no drasha, translation of the word.
You said it came from either of one or two sources. Hesek.
Again. Webster's Dictionary. What does the word hezek mean? There's an argument. How to translate the word. The Torah said mazik is chayev.
Didn't you say you derive it either from Mach or
Rech? No. The iser to be mazik somebody, there's two parts. I'm not allowed to damage you regardless if I have to pay. I'm not allowed to cross damage. That's a machloikis. What the source is, I'm not allowed to damage. Because the Torah never says no damage. The Torah says if you damage, you pay. Did I do an Aveira by damaging? What if I damage and pay? Did I do an Aveira? So there's a source to say I'm not allowed to go damage. B'mezen. That's one thing. Then there's a, once I damage, do I have to pay? The Torah says a damager pays. What does a damager mean? What is the translation of the word hezek? That's the machlokes here. One translates hezek to mean any damage that diminishes value, and one translates damage means visible damage.
Hello.
Yes. Dr. Ashi. Hezek Shein and Nicker. I skipped before that. Shmei Hezek. Behezek Lechulka Taira. Shubabi the Adam Bach Atzmai Ben Shaydi Lameza. In a regular damage, a visible damage, the Taira didn't differentiate whether you did it on purpose or not. One damages inadvertently, he still pays. Hezek Shein and Nicker. Gerhani the Masnison. They didn't change. They're not visibly changed. If you're going to make him pay, he won't tell him. They'll end up eating an iser. If he's not trying to anger the guy, if he's not trying to tell him, I got you, why would he do it? What? It's very, again, I told you, we're very from here, Rashi is not so from. What am I supposed to say? The Gemara is saying that the people wouldn't tell, right? Because they're out to hurt the guy, right? If they're going to have to pay, I'm sorry. If they're out to hurt the guy, they'll tell him, even if it means costing money. But if they did it by shaking, they won't tell him.
But they don't tell the person ends up eating it.
No, you're right. Refaito, you're 100% right. By mezid, you'll tell him even though it costs you money. But you're out to get him. You want to break his thing. You know you're going to end up paying for it.
You don't want him to do this. You want to tell him before he
eats. No, you want to tell him that you hurt him. No, Rashi said, if by shaygig, Rashi's going to be shaygig. Why asim by the lulabailam? He won't tell the... Yes, I'm sorry.
So if it's not by shogging, he doesn't tell him. The person doesn't really lose out. In other words, people are eating tomei, or kohanim are eating tomei, and they don't lose out.
Why don't they lose out? They eat tomei. How many people want to eat trade for shogging?
They will never find out.
Therefore, upstairs it doesn't count?
I'm asking that.
The Gemara wants the guy to know and not eat it.
Yes, that would be the ideal situation. But if he doesn't know, the
coin
eats something that was
tummy.
Now what?
Okay, stop. A guy ate trade for shaking. Now what?
He knows that he ate
trade. Again, he ate trade for
shaking. Well, in the usual case, the person finds out he did something
wrong. Fine. What if he never finds out? Does that mean he didn't do anything wrong?
I'm wondering. I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to hektish, if you eat, do something, if you're what do you call when you take something from Hector?
Mila.
Yeah, right, Mila, you're always chayav, no matter what, and that seems to be the exception.
I don't know exactly what you mean by that.
Anybody who takes something from Ela...
Anybody who takes something from somebody else is always chayav. I don't know, if you take somebody else's thing, you're also chayav. I don't think Mila is an exception at all.
I think because Mila is so unique.
Who told you Mila is unique?
Because the second guy who bought it from the guy who took from.
That's because it's mighty the heck. It's a different halacha completely. Nothing to do with anything.
Incomparable.
Don't think I'm right. Now we're going to try to prove either Rabbi Yechonah right or Cheskia right. Tanan. This is a Mishnah later on in Masechta's Gittin. HaKehanim Shepiglu B'Megdash Chayav, B'Megdash Chayav, B'Megdash Chayav. The Kehanim who did Pigul are Chayav. Pigul means during the time of Shechita. Now, it could be any... Okay, I don't want to complicate things. Pigul can happen through any of the four essential services of the carbon. There are four essential services in every carbon. And they are Shechita, Kabbalah, the blood has to be caught in a vessel, Hailocha, it has to be brought close to the Mizbeach, and Zrika, it has to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Those are the four essential services. If a person can, the Kayan has wrong thoughts while he's doing any one of those four essential services, the animal turns into Pigul. And Pigul is a ruined carbon. It's a ruined carbon. Now, what wrong thoughts can the Kayan have? Either he thinks that it will be eaten beyond the time it's allowed to be, or it will be eaten out of the place that it's allowed to be. Again, so Kahanim that do Pigul during one of the four essential services, that's the only ones that are called Pigul. There are other things that pasul, but those are the only ones that are called Pigul. So if Kahanim do Pigul, right, now, it's a Hezek Shein and Nikr, because the animal shechted either way, and Halacha is b'meizid derchayiv, b'nei tikkun ha'olam. I think that's the lashon haMishnah. B'meizid derchayivin. It doesn't say the word tikkun ha'olam, but this is listed in the tikkun ha'olam of this perek. Everything in this perek goes on the tikkun ha'olam. So this is considered. The Brisa says it. Tan hakahanim shepiglu b'meizdash meizid derchayivin. That means it's a rabbinic thing. Tikkun Olam sounds like the Rabbanan stepped in order to keep Tikkun Olam, and the Gemara will explain what that means later. They said, if a Kayan does Pigul B'mezid, and he ruins somebody's carbon, he has to pay for it. That means without Tikkun Olam, he would not pay for it. Why not? He damaged the guy's carbon. To have to chain a nicker, but he damaged it. Makes it sound he pays for it rabbinically. Nay, tikkun olam. But biblically, he would not pay for it. Why would he not pay for it? Bani Allah, but may tikkun olam. V'yamit hezik shein a nicker shmei hezik. Hai shayig in peturim, but may tikkun olam yiboyolay. Shouldn't say mezid is chaya for tikkun olam. It's to say shayig is patur, may tikkun olam. Dr. Gemara, that's what the Brisa means. Tochinami Kamar. Mezidin Chayavim Mashaikin Peturim Tikkun Olam. You're right. Chizkiyahu will learn that when it goes, the Brisa says Tikkun Olam, it doesn't mean why Mezid is Chayav. It means why Shaikin is Peturim. Because of Tikkun Olam. Now, I just want to point something out. The question is this even, why is this called a Hezek Shein and Nikr? Let me try to explain this. The guy is shechting. Shechting is not a damage. That's what you're supposed to do with karbanos. What makes the damage is his speaking or thought process, machlekes rishonim, that he said, I'm going to eat this. This carbon's going to be eaten 2 days from now. Sometimes it's a shagig. He thought the halacha was you can eat it 2 days from now. Sometimes it's amazing. Right? That's not even an act of damage. It's not even an act of damage. That's words. So why is the Gemara even referred to that as an act? Hezek Shein and Nikr that we dealt with till now were acts of damage. Acts of damage that did not leave a visible impact. Here, it's not even an act of damage. Because it's the Shechita is not a damage. The damage is the fact that he said wrong things when he shechted. Speaking is not even a hezek shein and nikr. He didn't do anything. What he did was not a hezek. So the Rishonim speak out that since the shechita is done with that speech, it turns the shechita into an act of hezek. It's not that the shechita is independent from his words. A guy who shechts while he's saying these things has damaged by shechting. But it's not visible because it's not a different act that he would have done the other way. Again, it's a very fine line. If it's an act, So it's visible, the animal's dead. If it's not an act, it's even less than Eina Nikar. So the Rishonim speak out, it's a fine line. When he speaks during the Shechita, this Shechita becomes a different kind of Shechita, but not visibly so, because it's the same act of Shechita, but it makes the act of Shechita an act of damage, which is not visible. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm glad you understand.
What I would like to say is that it's either Hezek Nicker or everything else. It doesn't. Who cares what?
Again, the Rishonim asked you a question. Again, that means.
Who said that we would think there'd be a third level that would Patrick and Gonson? Who said that the Maisa has to be a Maisa? Who said it has to be a Maisa?
Again, words you don't pay for. When you don't damage with words. Damage means act of damage. That's what the translation, because everybody in Webster's is, damage means damage with an act.
What about Ada Shecker false testimony? Is that Hezek?
No.
Ada Shecker.
Damage is a lot of the Torah. Not Mazik.
It results in a damage if you make a guy pay. Based on your testimony, you damaged him.
Grumma. There was no act of damage. And by the way, if you testify falsely, who says you pay?
Zomamin pay.
Yes, there's a custom of Asis Mlekasha Zomam. Yes, it's a damage, and the Gemara asks, L'chaim, you don't do it. The Gemara in Baba Kama talks about the fact that there's no act. Damage usually requires an act. So the Rishonim speak out that here there is an act. But if it's an act, then it's visible, because the animal's dead. The answer is, that's not the damage. The dead animal is the regular Shechita. It's the type of Shechita that he did, which is not visible, that makes it a Mazik Shenei Nikar. This is the Rashba, the Ritva. These are the Rishonim speak out. Rashi. Zot Rashi, Kahanim Shepiglu, Kabanas Shachtum, Vizarkum, either Shechita or Zrika, Lechol Mem Chutzlus Manam, to eat the meat out of time, meaning Shlomim is supposed to eat in 2 days and one night, the guy's supposed to eat it the third night, or Chatas is supposed to eat in 1 day and one night, and he's supposed to eat it the second day. But Lehutsu Labailim, it doesn't work for the owner. Mezidin, Shiyadu Shepsulim Bekach, Mezidah means they knew they were ruining the carbon. Chayavim l'sham l'demeim l'baylim. Shartzichim l'havyachayim. They have to bring another one. B'inami n'davehi. And even if you say this was not a vow, and therefore it does not have to be replaced, it was a donation. And if it doesn't work, it didn't work. Kasha b'einav shlehikim l'karbonai. But it's still a damage if the guy wanted to bring a donation. Shartzichim l'havyachayim. That's called damaging a guy. He wanted to bring a donation, and you ruined his donation. See, Rashi is bothered. Bishlam, if you have to bring another carbon instead of it, you really cause damage. He did damage. But here, you didn't do damage. He's not going to bring another carbon. The answer is he wanted to bring a donation. You took away his donation.
Do you have to, for people to work, does the person really have to know exactly it's 2 days, 3 days? He just says, I want to eat it when it's not really the proper. I have no.
No, no. I don't know. We have to learn talking about that. I don't know.
I
heard your question. I said, I don't know.
How's that possible?
I don't know. My guess is it would be Pickle, but I can't prove it to you. May take an island, because how could I have the hockey comer? We make the common pay, but you don't want to go and doing it. Shaking Paturma taking out of me by the Chayavim, the Mezidina deriso. According to Chiskia, they're obligated to pay biblically. But taking out of them, Abturim will be shyly missly. Taking out of them is on Patrick, they should be I. Hush shaking Paturim. The Masnissin Loitani shaking in Paturim behedja Beresha. It did not say Shaking in Paturim explicitly, right? We're saying that the Bryce is explaining not what's written in the Mishnah, but the inference in the Mishnah. And even though it says the word Tikkun Olam in the Braisa, it's not going back on what the Mishnah said. It's going back on the inference of the Mishnah. So at the end of the day, we haven't proven anything. We tried to prove like Rav Yochanan, and Chizkiyah got out of it. Let's start the next case. Masiv Rav Lazar. Ha'aisim halacha b'mei chatas u'b'paras chatas. There's a halacha called paraduma. A paraduma is brought, it is not a carbon in the sense of a regular carbon, but it's completely burnt, and the ashes are used to mix with spring water, and they're sprinkled on people that are tummy mace, and that makes them tahar. Sprinkled on the third day and on the seventh day, it's part of the tahara process. Now, you're not allowed to work with the paraduma. If you do, you pasul the paraduma. And you're not allowed to work with the water that you mix the ashes with. Once you mix the ashes in the water, you're not allowed to do malacha with them either. If you do, it's ruined water. Now, it's not visible. These are non-visible damages. You do malacha with the cow, nobody will ever see. If you do malacha with the water, depending on what you do, but if you do it, you use it to wash dishes, nobody will ever tell the difference. It's the same water. Nobody will know that you use this to wash a dish. So this is called the Hesek She'ein Nikar. Yet it says, Ha'isa Malacha, B'mei Chatas, B'paras Chatas, Pater Medine Adam, V'chaya Medine Shemayim. He doesn't have to pay in Bezen, but upstairs he has to pay. Now there's Rashi translates Chaya Medine Shemayim differently here than he does other places. Rashi says other places that if he doesn't, it's not a contradiction. If he doesn't pay, he's going to get it upstairs. We're not going to make him pay, but we recommend to him, if you're worried about Gan Eden and Gehenna, we would pay. It's not enforceable. Pata Medina Yadda means Bezen doesn't enforce it. But B'chaya Medina Shemaya means the advice to him is upstairs, they think you should pay. But we can't, it's not enforceable. So you can voluntarily pay if you know what's good for you. Rashi here uses a lashon that he's considered a rasha. He's considered, like, upstairs, when they punish Rishayim, he'll be along with the ride. He'll go along for that ride. We'll continue with Shem tomorrow.